Our scripture reading this evening is taken from Ephesians chapter 6 and reading verses 1 to 4. And our catechism will be from Lord's Day 39. First of all, Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And then reading from the Heart of a Catechism, Lord's Day 39, which is one question 104, found on page 52. So what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Dear people of God, as we continue our focus, as it were, on family relationships, it's important for us to take note of the fact that when God addresses those horizontal relationships that we have with one another, that the first one that is addressed in the Ten Commandments is this. It's the relationship children have with their parents. Because for us as individuals, that is the most important relationship that we have in terms of learning how to live our lives. It's not the most important relationship that we ever enter into, of course, because we know that that, in terms of earthly relationships, is a relationship between husband and wife. But certainly in our development, there's no more important relationship that we have except that we have with our parents. And so, if we fail in that, if we stumble on that, if we don't learn the lessons that God has in store for us in that environment, it completely throws everything off. I mean, our life is just ruined from that point on. I mean, in educational language, I mean, if we don't get kindergarten, if they do anything in kindergarten, and certainly if we don't get what they do in grade one, and we pay no attention to it, then it doesn't take a genius to figure out that grade two isn't going to be that well for us. Grade three, four, five, and on and on and on. If we continue down that path, things are not going to go well. I mean, it doesn't mean that if we mess up here that we can't be restored, can't be fixed, as it were. But the point is, if we continue down that vein, if we continue on that path, things are never going to improve. And things are going to go, as they say, from bad to worse. And we see that, of course, in our society. What is the relationship that people lament over with respect to the ills of our society? I mean, isn't it the family? That because marriages break down, because families break down, because children don't respect their parents, then of course we have problem in the schools, and the school blame the parents, the parents blame the school, and there's chaos there, and then when our children leave school, they have no respect for employers, they have no respect for police, they have no respect for anyone. Neither for each other. And so we get all the chaos that we have in our society. So the evidence is there. The problem is they never want to accept the solution. They'll come up with all kinds of ideas to improve and fix this problem, but never to the point of submitting to the scriptures. Never to the point that parents ought to exercise their authority and ought to lead their children in the way that is godly in terms of the scriptures. No, they don't want to follow that path. Every other path they've tried has failed and still is failing. But the Christianity and the Bible, no. That is a path we're not going to follow. Even though it has become such a burden upon them, yet they refuse to submit to God's word. But here, God wonderfully lays out His plan, His purpose for us, and especially within the covenant community. And outside the covenant community, there are blessings to be had if society would follow that. But they follow it so imperfectly, and other times not at all, that they don't reap those benefits. Even though some families, though they be unbelievers, yet without self-consciously submitting to the scriptures and to the God of the scriptures, they do follow, in a sense, those principles that they teach their children and control their children and teach them to be so-called upright citizens. And there is a benefit. Their families aren't as broken as other families. But in terms of the covenant, this is so crucial in terms of raising our children the way that they should go. And as I said this morning, there should be nothing as dear to parents than the eternal spiritual well-being of their children. I can't see what other priority we would list before that. Even though sometimes I think in our practical outworking of raising our children, it seems there are other priorities because we spend more time on them, more effort on them, more emphasis on them with respect to our children than we do the spiritual. And yet in the cold light of day, when we would think about it, we would realize, no, it's the spiritual that is more important. And so we have to give due diligence to the responsibility that God gives us as parents. But the Catechism addresses our children. The Catechism wants to appeal to our children. It wants to reason with our children. And so instead of beginning with parents and emphasizing that, it begins with the children. Address them. They can understand God. God can address them. They ought to understand that dialogue that God has with them, that it's not always mediated through parents. And so we should do that with our children at times. We need to reason with them. We need to make them responsible before God. We need to lay that at their on their consciences. Rather than obey me, we ought to say to them exactly what the scripture says. God is calling you to obey Him by means of obeying us. God has laid this responsibility on us. God lays this responsibility on you because God cares about you, about your future. And so God has given then incentives in the scriptures. And Proverbs, of course, are full of such verses that remind parents that disobedient children are a burden to parents. They are the shame of parents. And therefore, parents ought not to take this duty lightly. But on the converse, obedient children, those that obey their parents, that is, they obey the Lord. I mean, that is a blessing indeed. And when the scriptures speak about the blessings of seeing our children and children's children, it's not just talking about the fact that we have grandchildren and what a blessing it is to have grandchildren. No, it's talking about the blessings of having children that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and having your grandchildren believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a blessing is. And so it's always such a privilege and joy, as we had with Don Powell's funeral, to see children there and to know that they love the Lord and to know that their children, his grandchildren, love the Lord. I mean, if ever a man can go in peace, it's that. It's that. And so these are very important and dear things to us. And so God addresses those. The world may tell you that it's cool to disobey parents, not to allow oneself to be intimidated by parents. But it isn't cool as far as God is concerned. It's dangerous and foolish. And so the Catechism then turns our attention to that. And from the Catechism's answer, you will see what I've already said, which is understanding and applying this command to our lives has implications for all other relationships that we have that have authority in them. So when it says, love your parents, be loyal to your father and mother, and then it goes on to say, and all those in authority over me. So the lessons that we learn in our family, lessons that we learn in terms of obedience to parents, are lessons that stand us in good stead with respect to all other relationships that we have in society. It equips us, it qualifies us, it gives us wisdom to be able to act in a godly way in all of those relationships as well. It's no accident that children that disobey their parents and youth that disobey their parents aren't the ones that get responsible jobs. What they do is get in trouble with the police. What they do is end up in prison because they can't work under authority. Rules mean nothing to them. It's all about me. And so they get into trouble. And it ruins their lives. Again, that's not to say that God isn't able to intervene, that they come to the gospel and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever mess they've made in the past, God can rectify by his grace and by his Spirit. But the point is, if we don't learn and we continue along the same path, then we are embracing a life of misery, a life of burdens. So again, it's important then that we focus on this command. And first of all, again, as we said this morning, we need to understand where this command is coming from. It's God's word to us. Is God's word to you? It's not the word of the adult society that is thinking, now, how can we get our children to obey us? We know we're going to make up 10 commandments and we're going to say, God told us to tell you these things. I mean, that's the way the world looks at it. When we say, wives, obey your husbands, society says, well, that's just the males in the church trying to dominate women. I mean, little do they know where the words come from. They came from the very mouth of God. This wasn't a conspiracy by men to dominate women. And neither are these words a conspiracy by adults to dominate children. No, this command comes to us from God's word. God is addressing covenant children. And who are, as I said this morning, regarded as members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not saying that they are Christians by that very fact, but God has received them into the covenant, and He has laid out a plan by which to instruct them according to His wisdom, so they might be led and instructed in order that they might become wise unto salvation, in order that they might submit to God, in order that they may repent of their sins and come to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So God has put them on a pathway to become the children of God. That's a blessing that our covenant children have. And for our children to look at that and discard it, as we looked at last week with respect to Esau, who looked at his birthright and despised it and said, what good is it to me? That can happen. But it's a sad, sad tale. God's intention, of course, is not that. God's intention is to teach us about who He is, teach us about the relationship that He has and wants with us as children that love Him and obey Him. And here in this wonderful way, God has begun a path upon which to instruct children on the level that they can understand these wonderful spiritual truths that will stand them in good stead throughout their life, even to the point of a relationship with Him. And so God includes it then in the Ten Commandments, both of course in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. And so God is talking to you. It's not your parents now. It's God is saying to you, I'm the one that gave you life, not your parents. And I want you to understand that in order for you to enjoy the full blessings of this covenant into which I have embraced you by way of baptism, then what I want you to do is to learn obedience. I want you to listen to what they say. I want you to submit to what they say. Because what they say when they are obeying the scriptures is what you need. Even as 2 Timothy tells us in chapter 3, where it says about Timothy, where you have known the scriptures from infancy. And these scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. That's what parents are seeking to do when they call you to obedience, when they instruct you in the way that you go. They're not doing these things simply because they want to make their life easier. Sad to say, some do. Some just don't want the hassle of children disobeying them, getting into trouble, bringing shame on the family, and that's what it's all about. And so they can become very strict and dominate children, and their children, out of fear, will obey them. That's not what God is talking about. I mean, show me parents like that, and I'll tell you, and I'll show you children that never became Christians because of that. What? Because they had an attitude about God from their children, from their parents, that God is this oppressive father figure that extinguishes any joy in us and beats us down for whatever purposes He has. Well, who wants to be like that? That all He's concerned about is His name. All they're concerned about is a family name. That ought not to be our motive. No, as I've said, when we instruct our children, how are we to instruct them? we are to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. We're to nurture our children in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way of the Scriptures, in the way of the Gospel. That's our intent. That's our goal. To teach them how it is that we live our lives in obedience to God. Sometimes we think God is unreasonable. Sometimes kids think their parents are unreasonable. But how do they learn? How do they respond to those kinds of demands by parents? Do they fight against them? Do they say, well, I have a will of my own. How dare you say those things? I'm going to do whatever I like. And they fight, and they disobey us, and they get out of windows and leave for the night. What if our children do that to us? That's exactly what they're going to do to the Lord. That's exactly the way they're going to respond to the gospel. And so our task is to teach them to be obedient, to teach them that we love them, that we care for them, and that disobeying us is really to their disadvantage. To their disadvantage. Not to our shame, but even more so with respect to them. That's what God is concerned about. It's not about adults dominating children. No. If we wanted to do that, we could do that a lot better ways. We could bring all kinds of pressure to bear. After all, we hold all the cards as adults, don't we? They don't earn a living. They don't have enough to feed themselves. They don't have anywhere to stay except with us. Everything that they have and need comes from us. We have all the cards. But the thing is, it's not about control. It's about wisdom. It's about them understanding that they are not self or independent. Right? They'll never be independent. We are always dependent beings. And we depend on God. And alone, we cannot stand. And so God wants us to learn that right from the beginning. And so he's saying, look, in this safe environment, I want to show you, I want to prove to you that this is the way to go. I want you to be obedient to parents and see the joy and the blessings that will flow. See the wisdom that will be imparted and the things that you will learn when you do that. So that as you grow, you will learn to hear him. But as we know, children, like all of us were, are stubborn. And we don't want to obey. And so we dig in our heels. Children can too. I mean, it's amazing sometimes. Sure. I mean, they're weak, right, compared with us. But it's like they take on this giant and they don't blink at all. What are you going to do? And you think, I mean, it's laughable, right? In the world, they wouldn't make it for a second. But in the home, what do they exploit? They exploit the fact that you love them. And they think they have a leverage. And so they stand up to you in ways that they would never stand up to anyone outside of the home. Because they wouldn't tolerate it. But with parents, they think they can get away with it. And so they stand in all of their imagined power. And it leads them into this foolish confidence. And so with respect to children then, that is not the case, of course, with wives. Parents are instructed that at times, when it's right and proper, we are to use discipline to help our children see that obedience is the way to go. And so the Scriptures puts it in that very graphic way, which is that if we spare the rod, we're going to spoil the children. I mean, society has a fit when they hear that. Rod? Children? Are you kidding me? whatever damage society thinks that we will inflict upon our children when we discipline them in terms of punishment in a reasonable way, you understand. I mean, I don't know what society thinks when it thinks about spare the rod, whether they think we have this big, you know, stick and we beat them like some countries do and inflict terrible damage upon them. They think that. I mean, I hope we don't have any families that do that. But certainly there is discipline. Certainly there is spanking that was well attested and well received by society. Now it's, you know, almost outlawed. But whatever damage society thinks that it's protecting our children from, they have no idea of the damage that is inflicted upon our children when we refuse to discipline them. That damage is much more. No child will ever enter into hell because they got spanked. But there are many that will end up under the eternal wrath of God because parents didn't discipline their children. And their children went in that rebellious way throughout their life and rebelled against God Himself and never repented, never submitted to Him. And so, not only are parents instructed to discipline their children, but God Himself gives a warning in the commandment itself. In a positive, and yet of course the opposite is true too. In other words, that when we obey our parents, then God says that it might go well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that your days may be long. So in a very earthly way, God puts it in these graphical terms that we can understand, which fits in, of course, to the context in which the commandments were given in the first place, because they were coming from the house of bondage in Egypt, and they were at Mount Sinai, and they were going to go into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that held out promise in terms of God's blessings and His protection. And so God is saying, look, I want you to be obedient to your parents, because as you are obedient to your parents, you're going to be obedient to me. And as you're obedient to me, you're going to live in the promised land. You're going to enjoy all the days of your life, the blessings of fellowship with God. But if you disobey me, if you disobey your parents, then all you're going to get is my judgment. I mean, it's ironic, isn't it? That as the history unfolded, what happened? The parents didn't make it into the promised land. And why? Because the parents refused to obey God when He told them to go into the promised land and to attack the people there. They said, no, they're much more powerful than we are. They look like giants compared with us. And even though you're right, the land is fine with milk and honey, we can't do it, so we're not going to do it. And so they disobeyed God. And God says, okay, fine. Let's go back into the wilderness. We're going to go round and round for 40 years. And everyone that was 20 and older is going to die in the wilderness. They are not going to take a step into the promised land because of their disobedience. I mean, what an impact it must have had on the children. He's serious. He really means it. We better obey our parents. And so they went around 40 years in the wilderness. The children were taught. Can you imagine? Obey your parents, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. They knew what that meant, because they had to keep going until every person that was 20 and over, and you can imagine how many of those were parents, until every one of those died without seeing the promised land. People got it serious. And you may say, well, that doesn't apply to us now. I mean, after all, we're not in any promised land. That was for the Jews, right? That was a very earthly portrayal of the kingdom of God. But that's the point, isn't it? It is a portrayal of the kingdom of God. So we can equally say what God says here about the kingdom of God. Obey your parents, that your days may be long in the kingdom of God. Because when we don't obey our children, as I've already said, obey our parents as children, then we're going to get into that habit of not respecting authority, not taking heed to what the person in authority is telling us. And that will spill over into us hearing the Word of God and our response to the Word of God. And so even though God's Word is telling us all of these things, we disobey them. And what ends up happening? What ends up happening is that even though we had the privilege of being in the covenant and in the kingdom of God in terms of the church, we never come to profession of faith. We never submit to God. And so in a sense, we don't really enjoy the blessings of the covenant in terms of redemption, in terms of forgiveness of sins, in terms of a lively relationship with God and the blessings that accrue from that. We never experience that. Show me a child in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that has a genuine profession of faith, and I'll show you a child that obeys his parents. But show me a child that is disobedient in the home, and it will be a contradiction in terms for them to be making profession of faith. I would expect the parents to say, he has no respect for us. He has no respect for the Word of God. How on earth are you receiving and saying that this is a credible profession of faith? So the promise of God continues and the warning continues even to this day. And so that's another reason why children need to take it very seriously. It is not worth us disobeying parents, because in the end it's teaching us to disobey God. No, we are to be thankful that God cares for us, that he's blessed us with this environment. And by the way, even if our parents are unbelievers, we ought to take this commandment seriously. We need to obey our parents, even if they're unbelievers. Again, with a caveat of that if they tell us to do things that are against the Word of God, we need to refuse. But in other areas where it's not in conflict with what the Word of God says, we need to be obedient to our parents. I mean, there's blessings that accrue from that as well. Plus, we become an example to them. So the blessings and the warnings of God are intended to set you on the right direction. As young people, as children, to say this is the way that you are to go. And the scriptures tell us that if we train our children in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they won't depart from it. It's crucial years. But also we are to obey our parents because they are our first leaders. I mean, can you see the unreasonableness of our actions when the very people through whom God gave us life, the very people that are 100% invested in our well-being, the very people that can't sleep at night when things are not well with us, whether we're sick or whether we are in trouble with something, parents do not sleep well in those times. it brings stress into their lives. And though our interactions with them may not always reveal that, because parents don't always reveal the feelings and the concerns that they have, they so often focus upon getting us to do the right thing, and sometimes that brings them into conflict, and we rebel. And we never get the words out that really are upon our hearts and minds, which is, I love you, I care for you, I don't want you to make these terrible mistakes. But those words never hardly get out. All it is, it seems, at least from the kids, is a battle of wills. It's not a battle of wills. I mean, exactly what do you have that we need? And we have all the cost, all the expenses, all the heartache. I mean, where's the give and take? I mean, we invest in the lives of our children, even if we say at 18, right? For 18 years, there is unconditional love and commitment and sacrifice. Exactly what are we getting back in return? If we worked for somebody for 18 years, we'd get a ton of money in the bank. But what exactly do we have? Does the government come and say, hey, here's $100,000, you did a great job with your children? They don't say that. So what is it that motivates us? Is it not love? Is it not concern for their well-being? So how hard is it to obey people that give of themselves to you 100% every day? And anything untoward happens to our children, get kidnapped, for example, I'm telling you, I mean, I just can't imagine the suffering and the pain and the agony that parents go through. When for even a split second, they don't know where their children are. I mean, their heart kind of drops. So God has wonderfully placed you under the care of people that love you with everything. I mean, we're sinful people, you understand. We are imperfect people. We are selfish people. And yet God has so designed the family that even imperfect and selfish people love their children unconditionally, generally speaking. It's for your well-being that God has created us this way. And so God has made that environment as easy as possible for us to learn obedience, learn to live under His obedience. And so they are the ones that establish that pattern of obedience in your life. And as I say, it sets you up for the rest of your life. And if you learn those lessons, it will help you in terms of school. It will help you in terms of every activity that you engage in where there's an authority structure, especially in terms of the government, especially in terms of the police, and especially in terms of employment. But ultimately, as we've said, in terms of your relationship to God Himself. And so here's an easy environment. And so if we fail in this, then odds are we're going to fail in every other thing. Because no employer is going to love you like that. No other adult that you come into contact with is going to love you like that. No teacher is going to love you like that. No policeman is going to love you like that. No government official is going to love you like that. And so when they come with all their imperfections, then we're going to rebel with everything that we have. But in the hope, we have those that love us and care for us. And so yes, they are imperfect. Yes, they may make unreasonable demands as far as we're concerned, but we have to learn to submit. There's no right or wrong necessarily when our parents tell us, well, you have to be in by a certain time. I mean, if they say 9 o'clock and other parents say 10 o'clock, there's no right and wrong. But they have the responsibility. They have the authority from God to set those limits for their children as they see fit. And that can change from area to area. But it's not for you to dig in your heels. It's not for you to say, no way, because so-and-so's parents allow them to be out into the wee hours of the morning, and therefore you should be allowed to do that. Children in general, you say, youth in general are out all the time. It's not our generation. Even though it seems our generation was a lot more safer in terms of society than the society around us today, and we had to be in pretty early. How much more so in the society that we have all around us? So yes, there are things that parents cannot come up with chapter and verse and say, well, look, here it says in Deuteronomy, you have to be in by 9. Right? Or other restrictions. That's left to their discretion, their wisdom. And if they're Christians, then I'm saying, generally speaking, they have the wisdom of the scriptures to a certain degree. And so we have to trust that. Even though we may not be able to understand it at that age, after all, they are a lot wiser than us in terms of life experience. So we have to trust them. Trust them for it. So yes, they're imperfect. Yes, they may make mistakes. Yes, they may be unreasonable at times. But your responsibility is to obey. Your responsibility is to learn what it is. To be obedient even when you can't figure it out. Because if you can't do that in the home, you will not do that with the Lord. When the Lord tells you to do things in the scriptures, and there are other things that you think you're going to miss out on if you do it, and I'm telling you, if you had that pattern at home, that's what you're going to do with the Lord. You're going to refuse to obey Him and think, oh, everything's fine, I'm just being disobedient here. No. You have to learn, because there are times in life where the scripture calls us to act in certain ways and we can't fathom why we should do that. And there may be dangers associated with that, sacrifices. And we think, well, why should I make this choice? This is not reasonable. This is not enjoyable for me. And so I won't do it. But learn obedience. Learn that there's someone that knows more about it than you. And when it comes to God, of course, He knows far more than we will ever know. He knows what He's saying. Our parents know what they're saying. They've lived life. They've gone through the struggles and the ups and downs. They've learned by experience. And so that what they're telling you is not just something they get out of the blue. Based on experience. And so we need to trust them for that. And as I say, that's the case with unbelieving parents too. They have a certain amount of experience. And so when they tell us to do something, we ought to give them the benefit of the doubt that they know what they're talking about. It's for you that God has given you this wonderful privilege of being raised in covenant homes and have this wonderful blessing. And in the end, as I say, it's good for you. Children think that it's all about other people, that they're just pawns, as it were, on the chessboard of their adult parents' lives. Sometimes we can think about that with God as well. But somehow we're just pawns. This is this conflict, this game between God and Satan. And we're just insignificant things that are pieces that God and Satan move at will. But, I mean, that is totally foolish to think that way, right? Because who lays down their life for the pawn? Who gives up the glories of heaven? Who becomes a servant? Who, even to the point of death, all the shame, all the humiliation, the wrath of God that He bore on us, do we really believe Satan's lie that we are simply pawns? Does anybody think that for parents, children are simply pawns to their end? No. God cares about you. God wants the best for you. And he reflects that in earthly form through the love of parents. As I've said before, the place where we get closest to in terms of unconditional love is the love of parents towards their children. That's the closest we come. And rightly so. Because God wants to communicate that to us in ways that as children we can understand. So when you do see your parents loving you and making sacrifices, then understand that God is sending you a message. I love you. I care for you. And so I'm giving you this command for your well-being. I want you to have this relationship with me. I want you to be obedient to me because I'm going to lead you to blessings untold. I'm going to lead you to a place and a relationship that you will not believe. You cannot imagine. You cannot comprehend the blessings and the joys that will flood into your lives. And whatever Satan has to offer, whatever things he calls us to chase, and to disobey our parents in order to get to them, will just pale into insignificance. Whatever things we think we've missed because we were obedient to our parents, or obedient to the scriptures, they will pale into insignificance in terms of the glories that God will give to us as we live under his care and as we enjoy him forever. In the earthly way, as I said, God put it in those terms of the kingdom of God in terms of Canaan. That here they had a land that God protected them and loved them so much that he disciplined them, but he protected them from the other nations. And they saw his glory. They saw his righteousness. And they enjoyed life under his care as he revealed himself to them. As he revealed more and more of his wonderful plan of redemption and finally brought it about in terms of the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was blessing. And remember what the queen said when she came to visit Solomon. And she said she'd heard a lot about Solomon and his kingdom. And she said really she hadn't heard the half of it. Because what she heard was so insufficient to describe what she was seeing with her own eyes in terms of life in God's kingdom. It was so wonderful. It was so glorious. And the psalmist puts it this way, doesn't he? He said it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I mean, how many places would you say, you know, I'd be happy just being a doorkeeper in that house. It's so wonderful. Rather than to be a ruler in my own. That says something about that kingdom, doesn't it? But that's how glorious it was. And so God is saying, look, if you don't obey me, if you don't learn to be submissive to me, you're never going to share in that. You're never going to share in that. Because, as he puts it, unless we receive the kingdom of God like children, we can never enter in. So we need to learn that. But it's for your best interest. It's for your eternal well-being. Not only in terms of this earth, but in terms of heaven itself. Because that blessing that he talks about in terms of Canaan is really an earthly way of expressing to us the spiritual meaning, the spiritual reality, which is the kingdom of God. That when we don't obey God, when we don't submit ourselves to our parents, then we will not submit to God. And so we will never come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will never be allowed entry into God's kingdom in terms of the blessings of the gospel. We will never enjoy them. So whatever it is that you think that you are missing and losing by denying yourself and obeying your parents, then I'm saying, think of this. You are rejecting, forfeiting forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And that is something that God doesn't want to happen. And so that's what God is preparing us for, to avoid. And so he begins. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to wait till they're 12 and 13 and then tell them that. No, no, no. It's far too important. He begins right away. Children, obey your parents. Because with that comes this glorious promise. It's not that you obey your parents and God's going to give you a gift of salvation. No, no, no. It means obey your parents and you will be prepared by God to embrace the gospel, to submit to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as children, life cannot be seen as something to enjoy and forget about life down the road. When we're adults, we'll deal with that. No, no, no. These things are far too important for that. As children, God is dealing with you. As children, God is communicating with you. Communicating with you about the eternal realities of your life. And he's saying to you, listen, I know which way you should go. I've prepared it. Just as kindergarten, I've laid everything out. I want you to be obedient. And I will bring you into the promised land and into heaven itself. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you once again for caring for us from the cradle to the grave, that you watch over us, that you arrange things for our best interest. And our Father, we're so thankful as we focus this today on the family and also on relationships that we have from the time of conception with our parents. And we're thankful for the safe environment that you place us in under their care. And though they are imperfect, we're so thankful that yet the love that we receive from them is a love that passes our wildest imaginations in terms of commitment and sacrifice. And our Father in heaven, we thank you that they reflect in their heart the care that you have towards us. And therefore, our Father, we thank you for these provisions and we pray that you would give us the wisdom to obey, wisdom to see your wonderful hand at work in our lives. And our Father in heaven, we pray that as we obey our parents, we may learn how to obey you and we may learn how to obey the Lord Jesus Christ and to embrace him as Lord of life, and to embrace you as our Heavenly Father. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless our parents with the responsibilities that you place upon them. Give them the wisdom that they need. And Lord, give us the humility that we need to receive from their hands with grateful hearts. For we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.